The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, on the heels of Sean McDermott's press conference, where he was the bearer of some bad news, let's look ahead. Let's look to the future. Let's look to a brighter future. And invite in Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. His latest piece, Being Bean, turning the Bills into a contender via 2019 NFL draft, trade, and free agency. Ryan, we're going to dive into this. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Brian, before we get into that, just your reaction from, I'm sure you just saw the news come across about Matt Milano, his season, coming to an end, and you hope he's back next year. Do the Bills have anything, really? I mean, who's the next guy up at the outside backer position if Milano's out the rest of the year here?
They really don't have a guy that can come in and play at nearly the same level as Milano. And it's a shame that the injury happened in general, but it's a shame that it happened so late in the game. And obviously it was a crucial series. It was, the Jets were marching right down right at the goal line there on that game winning drive. But it's still a shame that it happened because he was putting together a Pro Bowl season for the Bills, in my opinion. I really think that he was standing out on the field. But the blessing in disguise here is he should be ready to go for next year in the offseason training. So there is some good news there. It looked very serious when it happened. But, yeah, there's no way that they can really replace Milano for the rest of these games this year.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. His latest piece, turning the Bills into contenders via the 2019 NFL draft, trade, and free agency. Now, this is a great piece, Ryan, because you go position by position, really, and give an explanation of what the Bills can or could do this offseason. And we all kind of know what the Bills need to do at quarterback. I mean, aside from, mentoring Josh Allen, you have somebody who somewhat capable of Matt Barkley. You bring him back for another season. I want to start with you with the running back position because you've got LeSean McCoy under contract, and it's a pretty hefty deal in 2019. Is there value to keeping him around considering that he could give you the kind of production that you've gotten this year, which is next to nothing?
That's a fair question, but you also have to wonder how much of this falls on the offensive line and the play there and the overall scheme. He has had a very unproductive season, and it's very possible that Buffalo could part ways with him. But I really think that if they were going to, they would have done it at the trade deadline this year, tried to get anything for him in terms of the 2019 draft, but they ended up keeping him. And although he's having a down year this year, I think that they do hold on to him for one more year, at least until the start of free agency, because there will be some interesting names out there. Obviously, Bell. I think that bidding war will be too much for Bean to really get into. Although when he was with the Panthers did give some big-time extensions to some of their running backs. So, I guess I wouldn't eliminate that as a possibility. There's Coleman in Atlanta. There's a few other guys. But at the same time, I don't think you get rid of McCoy unless you have one of those guys and you agree to terms with them beforehand.
Where do you come down on Chris Ivory? Because along those same lines, hard to evaluate talent when the line is playing this way. However, Ivory, if you did move on from him, as you point out, you'd save a little more than $2 million next year.
Yeah, I think that's one move that I would make. When they actually signed him, at the time they signed him, at the amount of money they signed him for, there were some other free agents that became available after that fact that ended up signing for a lot less than I thought. Could have helped the Bills just as much, if not more, than Ivory. And $2.25 million in savings, I think, is too much for the Bills to pass up at that point, especially based on the production that we're getting out of that the team's getting out of Ivory this season.
Talking with Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, and the sports bar Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Let's move to the wide receiver position, Ryan, because you've got a couple of different scenarios here that are interesting. I'll say they're interesting. I'm always the guy that says never overpay for production at a skill position and build from the inside out. But you have a scenario here where maybe, just maybe, the Bills make a trade for a superstar wide receiver out of Cincinnati, AJ Green. Talk to us.
Yeah, I don't think it's as far-fetched as some people believe. You have a guy that's going to be 31 next season when September rolls around. He's coming off of an injury to his toe. He's on a roster that I think could kind of be blown up at the end of the season with Marvin Lewis, I would assume, being fired, or sadly, it sounds like he could even be promoted in Cincinnati to the front office But either way, I think there's going to be a new coaching regime. I think there's going to be the age factor, the salary, the fact that he's entering the final year of his contract as well, where Cincinnati might say, you know, it'd be nice to have him as a lifer here, but at the same time, if we can get good value for A.J. Green and maybe send him to a team where he can still compete and maybe join a team that could contend in the next few years, wouldn't that be better for him in his career? And a lot of people probably wouldn't think of Buffalo as that destination, but you get Josh Allen a weapon, and at the end of the day, it's A.J. Green. I know his age. I know that he's been battling some injuries there. But that's the kind of player that could really help Josh Allen in his development in year two. All of a sudden, that depth chart would look a lot better with a superstar like Green in the fold.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, about his plan here. Being Bean, I love the title of that, turning the Bills into a contender via the draft, trade, and free agency. When you look at the free agent list, and Ryan, you and I are in lockstep here because this was something we talked about early last week when it comes to the free agent list of wide receivers. Tell us a little bit about Terrell Williams of the L.A. Chargers there, because the Chargers certainly have depth at the wide receiver position. Here's Williams, someone who is going to spring free by free agency. Is this somebody the Buffalo Bills should target?
Yeah, I absolutely think he should, especially when you factor in his age. He's 26. A big playability, 533 yards going into this weekend on 29 receptions, 5 touchdowns. And like you said, they have no shortage of wide receiver talent on that team. So in a place like Buffalo where there's not quite the logjam, he'd be featured more. He seems like the type of receiver that Josh Allen does well with. You look at these guys that can get open, you know, in that intermediate or that middle long range part of the field. Guys like Robert Foster and Isaiah McKenzie have been valuable contributors since they've both been added to the team. I know it's actually Foster's second stint, but a guy like Williams, I think, could really help Buffalo. And he's a guy that, you know, you might not have to pay as much as you would expect for him on the open market, where there could be some bigger names, so to speak, that get cut by other teams around the league. So I think Williams is a guy that the Bills could target in free agency early.
Ryan, this is another guy that we were talking about earlier in the sports bar. Gene brought up Anthony Johnson from Buffalo. Now, tell us a little bit about Anthony Johnson. We know that he, of course, plays for UB, but, you know, round two, is that a fair place to select him? Is that a bit of a reach? Will he fall? Could he fall? What kind of a player does Anthony Johnson project to be? Because I'm more interested in the player than where he went to school, and I know how provincial we are in this region just because he went to UB. We don't want to see another Khalil Mack situation, but, you know, really, how much alignment is there between Johnson and Buffalo as a city, as a community?
Well, you know, I think Johnson has the potential to develop into a number one wide receiver in this league. And the good news for Buffalo is there is a lot of round one, round two talent at the wide receiver position. You know, you have guys that I think could fall into that range. You have Marquise Hollywood Brown, I think could fall in that range. Depending on what happens with his neck, there's DK Metcalf. I'm blanking on his name right now, out of Stanford. There's a lot of guys that are projected to go late round one, early round two. And after yesterday's loss, you know, the Bills hold the sixth pick in the first round, they'd have the sixth pick in the second round. So I think if they just take the best player available in round one and they wait on a wide receiver, there's going to be someone that falls into their lap in round two, maybe Kelvin Harmon. There's another name that I just thought of right there. So there's a lot of talent in this draft, and I targeted Johnson just because I have seen him going either really late round one or being projected by some of ESPN's draft analysts as a second round pick in general. So I do think he's a really in play. I think he is a legitimate option. You know, some people might point to the competition that UB has faced, but he's shown up, you know, pretty consistently in his career.
We're talking to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Charles Clay, is it half glass full or half glass empty here? Because Clay, you could cut him and you save $4.5 million, but you could cut him and it's still $4.5 million of dead cap. I'm just amazed that you'll still be paying $4.5 million dead cap money on Charles Clay. What a terrible, terrible deal. What chances do the Bills actually bring him back next year? It's all pointing to him gone. And what do you think of Jason Kroom? Is he ready to stay on this roster, or may he find his way out the door too?
I think Clay is definitely on his way off the roster. You know, you almost felt bad for him yesterday. The first pass, it hits him in the hands and he drops it. Crowd boos all over again. And maybe it's a psychological thing at this point. But he's had a rough go of it. He's never lived up to that contract. And I know the Bills overpaid for him because they were worried about the Dolphins matching the deal at that point in time when they signed him. And a lot of teams or a lot of fans will look at it and say, oh, you know, it was a terrible signing. But there were a few seasons where he was their leading receiver in terms of receptions and yards. And, you know, maybe that says more about Buffalo's talent at the position or ability to stay healthy over time. But he's just never lived up to that contract. He needs to be on his way out the door. Jason Kroom, you know, I still don't know what the Bills have in Kroom. I've always said that tight end is the toughest position to evaluate early on in a player's career. It seems like most tight ends need a 2 to 3 year window to really develop into maybe their full potential. I don't know if it's just there's that much of a difference between the college game and the pro game for that position, but I would feel comfortable at least having him come back as the number two tight end. In the article, I had them targeting Jared Cook, again, an older veteran, but a guy that can get open, a guy that's been pretty reliable with the Raiders here in the last 2 years, and again, another weapon for Josh Allen as you work to you work on his development as a pro.
Ryan Talbot's article, NewYorkUpstate.com, what Brandon Bean needs to do to turn the 2019 Buffalo Bills into contenders. It's worth your time to check it out. We're discussing it now in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Ryan, this is where you and I are 100% in alignment. When we start talking about the offensive line and moves that they can make, there are two names that are out there that if the Bills can land, ooh, they're going to be in much, much better shape. I mean, listen, let's face it, anything they do could be an improvement to the offensive line compared to how they've played this year. But these two names specifically, Matt Paradise out of Denver, Darrell Williams out of Carolina. We joke, but both of these guys would be great additions to the Buffalo Bills offensive line.
Yeah, and if I'm Brandon Bean, Matt Paradise is the first call I make when free agency begins. He's my number one target. You know, you've seen what this offensive line has done this year. They're really missing Eric Wood. They're really missing that reliable center, and I think really that's where the biggest issue, or I think that is the biggest issue with the line this year. And if you bring in a guy like Matt Paradise, who, you know, he's on the injured reserve right now with a broken fibula, but he was playing great this year. He's been very reliable. This is, I believe, the first time he's missed any time with an injury. 57 consecutive starts, in fact, at center before that injury. So big-time upgrade. You could still keep Bodine on the roster as the backup. That would be fine. But, yeah, that would just be such a lift for the offensive line, such a lift for the running game. And again, it all goes back to Josh Allen, not only getting him weapons, but getting him protection. You know, we've all been saying how great he's been with his feet, and he has been, but I do think that his internal clock is going off a little bit too early at times. And I think a lot of that is because he knows how the offensive line is around him. And as for Darrell Williams, there's a little more risk there, especially because of the injury he's coming off of. With his knee, but obviously teams will do their due diligence on Williams, including the Bills. He's a guy that Brandon Bean obviously knows very well from his time in Carolina. So, you know, both of those guys. I think this is a team that's going to try to upgrade their line through free agency over the draft, possibly, especially if they can get guys that they think fit their scheme, so to speak, especially early on. Because then if you knock out two of those positions, all of a sudden you don't have to target that in round one or round two. You can still add another guard there, someone to compete for that right guard spot. But it's no longer a top-of-the-line priority, so to speak.
Ryan, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. And as the Bills wrap up with these last few games, we're going to hear more and more of the storyline of, is this the end for Kyle Williams? And correct me if I'm wrong, I haven't picked up one way or another if there's any chatter out there, but is it fair to assume that chances are that Kyle Williams, this will be his last year? And when you look at the talent at the top end of the draft here. Right now, the season ended today. The Bills would pick at number 6 overall. You have a very interesting name that the Buffalo Bills could get as more than an adequate replacement if Kyle Williams should step aside.
Yeah, you know, there is no official chatter from the Bills or from Kyle Williams about whether or not this is his last year. But at the end of last season, I actually remember on the broadcast against the Dolphins game, the announcers were talking about how they had spoken to Kyle Williams and how he was going to take time at the end of last season to think about whether or not he wanted to return. So, I mean, the thought has at least crept into his mind of, you know, maybe I'm not coming back this year. And he's still playing at a very high level, and if he wants to come back, I'm sure the Bills will go out of their way to sign him to another one-year deal. As long as he's producing and as long as team's obviously happy with his leadership, which there's no reason not to be. But if he does call it a career, all of a sudden you have a big hole in the middle of your defensive line. And, you know, re-signing Jordan Phillips is one thing you can do. But I don't necessarily want him coming in and playing significant snaps where you can get a guy like Ed Oliver or Quinnen Williams out of Alabama. Both guys are outstanding against the run, and they can get after the quarterback. So, it's hard to find prospects like that at the defensive tackle position. And if one of them fell in Buffalo's lap, I think that the team wouldn't hesitate to draft either of them.
Ryan, I'm nervous about linebacker. I know that there's so much upside in Tremaine Edmonds' game, and I wish, you know, and I'm saying this the day after he has his first interception and becomes the youngest player ever to intercept a pass in an NFL game, but I also see the play of a fellow rookie like a Leighton Vander Esch that you could have gotten at that spot without giving up what you had to give up to get Tremaine Edmonds, and I scratch my head and wonder if the Bills selected the right linebacker. But now I'm even more concerned when you consider Matt Milano has a fibula injury. We don't know what that means for next season. I mean, I'm sure he's going to recover and everything should be fine, but then you also have an aging Lorenzo Alexander, who's expressed an interest in returning. Talk about this linebacking core and what exactly the Bills can do to add a little bit more depth to their linebackers for 2019.
Yeah, well, you hit it right there. They do need to add depth behind Milano, behind Edmonds. I mean, those are two guys, though, that you have in place that you say, okay, these guys can be stars in this league for the Bills, especially in Sean McDermott's defense. And, you know, Edmonds, at his age, there's going to be some highs and lows. And like you said, you pointed out the interception, but there was also a play very early where he should have been able to tackle the running back on a little short pass, and he kind of whiffed on it, and it went for a decent or sizable gain. So, you know, you're going to have those moments still with him, but I think that they really know that he hasn't even scratched the surface on his potential yet, where Vander Esch was definitely a more polished product going into this year. So I'm sure the Bills, when they look at it, they said, okay, if we compare where they're at now, Vander Esch is definitely ahead of him. But if you look at the upside, if you look at the age difference, if you look at the potential, I think that's why they went in that direction. As for the third linebacker, there's mutual interest between the Bills and Lorenzo Alexander in terms of him returning next year. And I'm sure it'll be a one-year deal, maybe 2 years at most. But Alexander has said he wants to finish his career in Buffalo. He is still playing at a very high level. You know, there was, a play that stuck out in your mind from yesterday where he just kind of blew up a play deep in their own end of the field on a run play where he just kind of shot the gap and took down the ball carrier. So he's still playing well. And then if you do bring him back, I think this is the year that you say, okay, we do need to find his heir apparent. And you in the middle rounds of the draft, that's when you maybe take a guy, because they do seem to have an eye for talent, especially on the defensive side of the ball. We've seen it in the last 2 years. Now, Bean wasn't here in the first draft that McDermott was there, but they ended up grabbing Milano. And then this year in the draft, they found a guy like Taron Johnson at cornerback in those, day three of the draft. So they have the eye for defensive talent, and I'm sure they could find a guy where he would not have to play many reps as a rookie behind Alexander. He could kind of get eased in as the season goes on. But that's definitely one position that they will have to address, whether or not they re-sign Alexander.
Is there any way Danny Crossman is back next year, in your opinion, Ryan Talbot?
No, absolutely not. I think Danny Crossman will go. I think Juan Castillo needs to go as well, the offensive line coach. Both guys are underperforming. I just think that, you know, maybe last year was a fluke in terms of the playoff appearance, but at the same time, those two units especially have really fallen by the wayside. And yes, you can point to Richie Incognito and Eric Wood leaving and trading away Cordy Glenn. But at the same time, you have not seen any growth from this offensive line unit from week one to all the way now, you know, week 14. So that's a problem. And special teams has been an absolute disaster. You know, they've obviously rotated their punters, and they're having a lot of coverage issues this year. It seems like a lot of teams around the league are just kind of kicking the ball out of the end zone. They're just kind of assuming, let's take that touchback, where the Bills are kicking it short, whether by game plan or whether or not Hauschka can simply kick it through the end zone. And they've been giving up some really long returns as of late that have really hurt them in terms of, you know, the overall score. I think special teams is one of the biggest reasons why they lost yesterday to the Jets.
Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. You go to that website and you check out his article, Turning the Bills into a Contender via the 2019 NFL Draft Trade and Free Agency. Ryan, you're great with your time. I wanted to make sure you had plenty of time to let everybody know what you're working on this week for NewYorkUpstate.com.
Yeah, you know, Matt Perino and I are both looking at some more draft content. We'll be looking more so at what's going to be happening over these final 3 weeks, maybe what needs to happen for the Bills to fall into the number one spot in the draft. So we are trying to change gears a little bit here towards the draft, free agency, turn the page, so to speak, especially with the Bills being eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, are we going to be talking about Ford, the Buffalo Bills running back, come next week? Is that the Keith Ford? You know, I have to look up his name here, Ryan, with the injury report this week.
Yeah, you know, he might be the guy that gets promoted, especially with them saying that LeSean McCoy is day-to-day. You might as well see what the young guy can bring. Not, you know, nowhere close in terms of their styles between McCoy and Ford. I would say maybe Ford is closer to an Ivory than he is a McCoy. But it would be interesting to at least bring him up and see what he could do. I wouldn't have very high expectations, again, especially with this offensive line the way it is. But bring on that youth movement. Get Botker in there at right guard. Maybe keep McDermott in there at right tackle. See what these young guys can do so you can plan for the future.
Ryan, it's great hearing your voice. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon on the Sports Bar. We look forward to reading more of your work at NewYorkUpstate.com.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Ryan Talbot covering the Buffalo Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com. Mentioning Matt Perino there, another guest in the sports bar.
Didn't even get the bad loss for the Bonnies. Actually, it's not a bad loss. You lost to UB. It was bad the way Bonnie fans were so calling out UB. UB's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. If you missed that conversation, if you came in late, Ryan Talbot in the sports bar. We'll have that for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com. Up next, we serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. NFL appetizers on the way. Brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. An NFL executive has been relieved of his duties. And some of these Josh Allen numbers, rushing numbers, are just gaudy. Really, really gaudy. We'll give you a couple of updates from around the league. We've also got Leonard Fournette into more trouble, some injury updates.
Draft order, who's on the clock right now, number one overall, because there were some bad teams that actually won games yesterday.
We'll get to that and more. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader. ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best-sounding, most interactive way to listen to the Sports Leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.